coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, the views of Jim Corey, who works for a COPS magazine. It's a publication that goes to the organization of police chiefs across America, and Jim works with this organization of police chiefs. But today we were going to be talking specifically about the RFID chips that are being utilized. Certainly they're being put into products. Other efforts to put them into human beings. They're being put into animals or attached to animals. This is a means of tracking people. And there are many of us, of course, who are very, very concerned that they're making up databases on all American citizens. And with the RFID chips, whether they would be in the elderly, in the Alzheimer's patients, or in the newborn children, or in the general people, why, of course, this will be a more efficient means of tracking them. And why, simply by sometime next year, why literally every farm animal is going to have an RFID chip. If that farm animal, a chicken, is moved from one yard to another, they're going to have to be reported to the federal government. And what they're really going to do is put the small farmer out of business. And of course, the question is, why are they doing these things? They really don't make sense. Jim, thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Doctor.
Well, why don't you tell us how you got interested in RFID shipping?
Well, actually, it was my editor at newswithviews.com, which they have a number of people. In fact, you write for them.
Yes, I do.
a lot of other medical people have written for them. And the editor asked me if I would start investigating the use of these RFID chips, especially by a company known as Verichip. And the government plans to insert these chips surgically into human beings, starting off with, you mentioned Alzheimer's patients, starting off with newborns, usually people who cannot or are not capable of making decisions themselves. And the idea is supposedly that it will help medical professionals during the process of intake at a hospital look at a person's medical history by means of these chips. Now, that sounds a bit very benevolent. It sounds very harmless. The problem is that we don't know what information is contained in those chips. I'm talking about us, the American people. We don't know what they're surgically implanting in us. We know that the capability is there to monitor somebody using a GPS chip, which is very similar. You wouldn't know if the government is keeping tabs on you, for example. And I think that from a law enforcement perspective, law enforcement executives and law enforcement officers are...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Certainly, our guest this afternoon is Jim Curry, who works for an organization of police chiefs. They call it COPS. They put out a magazine. But Jim had recently written an article that actually addressed the issue of the RFID chips. And actually, Jim, since we have brought some news stations on board, would you tell our listeners why there is concern about this? And don't be afraid to be repetitive. I think it's such an important issue.
Well, sure. As I said, these chips are being, they're planning to implant these chips. Some of them have been implanted in Alzheimer's patients. Some have been implanted in newborns. These are American citizens who really can't make a decision about surgery, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about surgically implanting these chips into a human being. Supposedly, the reasons for it are benevolent, so that doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals will have access to information during intake of a patient into a hospital or emergency room. It sounds harmless, but then when you really look at the fact that we have the capability to also monitor these chips, or actually monitor a human being going from one place to another using GPS that also use these types of chips, I think that it's a very bad precedent for this country to enter into. I think that a lot of law enforcement people are wondering how come we are prevented from entering a person's home, and rightfully so, because we have a Fourth Amendment, and yet the government can implant this chip into a human being and actually monitor that human being.
And I certainly share your concern, and I think everybody should be concerned about that. And so, because we really need to understand that the government is collecting dossiers on all citizens. That is not their function. They tell us, oh, we're trying to protect you from the terrorists, but are we really trying to protect us from the terrorists when they leave our southern borders open? They absolutely refuse to close the southern border if they're really worried about, about the possibility of terrorist attacks on the United States. The first thing they would have done would be to have closed our southern borders, and if there's really a tremendous terrorist threat, why haven't there been any more attacks in America? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Curry, and of course, Jim is on the front lines of this battle. Did you work in the police force during your professional career, Jim?
Yes, it was New York City.
I see.
The housing law enforcement.
All right, fine. Of course, now he works for an organization that deals with the chiefs of police across the country. Could you tell us just a little bit about the organization?
Well, the National Association of Chiefs of Police is the largest organization of American police commanders in the country. Our members work for local law enforcement, for sheriff's departments, for federal and state law enforcement. Anyone who's above the rank of sergeant and who supervises a police unit is eligible for membership. We also have many members who are now Homeland Security directors for different states. We have people in the private sector who are retired from law enforcement who are working as security directors for major corporations and major organizations. We have about 15,000 members right now. We tend to be a conservative in our views as opposed to other police organizations, which may tend to be more liberal. We do not endorse candidates, but we do speak out on issues. And if a candidate doesn't like what we're saying, well, that's just a little too bad, but we do speak out on different issues. For example, we came under attack because our president supports the citizens' right to carry concealed weapons. Most police organizations are pro-gun control. We happen to be anti-gun control. We believe it's not the government's business if I want to purchase a firearm to protect my family and my home.
Well, I think, of course, the important thing is that it is constitutional. It doesn't matter how you feel about guns. The question is it constitution? And the Constitution guarantees the right of the people to keep and bear firearms. Now, let's get back to the whole idea of chipping, because, of course, I think this is something we should all be concerned about. And of course, have you looked at all into this whole program that they have? But sometime next year, literally every farm animal in this country is going to have a chip in it so it can be tracked. And why in heaven's name is the federal government doing that? Or are they preparing us for every person's going to be chipped?
Well, you know, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, but what I see is that there is a close tie between government policy for emergency management. For example, in Oregon, the Oregon State Police Chiefs Association, each state has their own police chiefs organization or sheriff's association. In Oregon, their emergency plan calls for, and I'm talking about, for example, an epidemic or a pandemic, a flu pandemic, calls for the animals, for example, farm animals, pets, to be confiscated. They will necessarily have to have chips in these pets in order, supposedly, to keep tabs on them. Now, there are a lot of people that are wondering, why do you bother collecting animals from people based on, for example, a flu epidemic? So there's a lot of suspicion happening right now. And, you know, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but what I see is that there is a connection between the federal government and some state governments in devising their emergency plans, especially for healthcare emergencies or medical emergencies, and these chips that they want to implant in animals and in human beings. Once you keep track of people and you can keep track of animals, it's much easier to confiscate them. That should worry a lot of Americans. Why are we spending all of this money? Because that we are talking billions of dollars so that we can monitor farm animals. It just doesn't make sense.
And, of course, it is not going to be all the money put out by the government. It's going to be the cost of the people who have their small farms. Now, if you're a Tyson's, you're a great big chicken grower, whether you have 100,000 chickens that are hatched out all in the same day, why, then, of course, you can just have some sort of a certificate. But if you are a small farmer with 100 chickens, they're all going to have a band on them because they all were born on a different day. And they want to know everything when they were born, you know, their progress. They want to know about where they are moved from one area to another when they're sold. There is no way that the small farmer can afford to do this. And so what they're basically going to do is attack our farmers and make their jobs so difficult that the farmers are going to quit growing their products and their cows and their geese and their chickens, and they're going to have to have a horse chipped. And if it's moved from one field to another, it'll become a federal crime if you don't report it. Now, this is madness, but there is always unintended consequences whenever you pass a federal law. First of all, the federal government has no right to be monitoring farm animals. That would be something at the state level. But there always are those people who want to regulate and control everything. And until they have everything controlled and everything has been destroyed, we know that command control doesn't work. It didn't work in the Soviet Union. It didn't work in Benito Mussolini's Italy. That didn't work in communist China. So why are they trying to introduce it here? It just doesn't make any sense, Jim.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And you're right. These are people who have a political agenda who are pushing these basically, they're asinine programs. I can't, if you look at, for example, the Oregon emergency management plan for dealing with health emergencies, such as the plans that they have for dealing with the so-called bird flu epidemic, if it should come to the United States. So far it hasn't, but we've already got all these plans written, and part of it is the monitoring of livestock. Part of it is monitoring human beings. You know, they come up with these rationales based on a threat that right now I don't see any evidence that the bird flu is even coming close to the United States. And you touched on it before, Doctor, and I thought you made an excellent point. Meanwhile, our borders are open. And I've been reading research papers that show the number of people coming into this country with diseases that we thought we had licked a long time ago. Tuberculosis, for example, polio, and other diseases that we thought were done away with in this country are now returning. There's an epidemic in New York City, the New York City metropolitan area, of tuberculosis in the prison system, in the healthcare system. We're finding patients that are going into emergency rooms for other conditions, and we're finding out that they also have tuberculosis. And, you know, this is coming right over the border. No one's stopping it.
And first, we had pretty well done away with leprosy in this country, but, of course, people are coming in with leprosy and then, of course, circulating across our country with this disease. It's hard to get, but if you get it, why, your life is never the same again. And we're not trying to guard our borders. It should be obvious. If they were really worried about terrorism and the threat of terrorism, the first thing they would do would be to guard our borders. They absolutely refuse to, and we have to ask why, and I think the answer should be pretty evident. They don't believe what they tell us. They don't believe there's a threat of terrorism, but they've got to convince us there is, because if there's a threat of terrorism, then they've got to be able to take away our freedom. And I share your concern about some of these programs. Immediately after 911, something called the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, that's MEPAM, the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, was actually passed in a number of our states that would allow compulsory vaccination. Do you really want them to be able to inject your body with, you don't even know what's in there? And if you doubt that they could put things terrible into your body, you should go back and find out how they contaminated most of the population with cancer virus when they were giving the polio vaccination back in the late 1940s and early 1950s. And there's a book out there called The Virus and the Vaccine. They're never going to tell the American people that. Why we wouldn't trust them. But they did that, and if they would put the polio virus, but they would put a cancer virus into the polio vaccine. Can we really trust them to put things into our vaccines or not to put things in the vaccine? We know that they've put contraceptives in the vaccines in the Philippines and in Kenya, places all across the world, in the tetanus vaccine. Why? Because there are too many people in the world, and what a wonderful way to disseminate, you know, toxins that will stop pregnancy than to put it in the vaccines and give it to poor women, telling them you're from the World Health Organization, you're from the United States, and you're there because you want to help them and make sure they don't get a tetanus toxoid, but we don't tell them that there's a chorionatotropin. And well, in the legislation, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, they've actually included places with compulsory vaccination, where they can actually take your home and your car and your food and put you into a concentration camp. And if you doubt it, we've got copies of the program that was originally laid out. And now we find they want to inject all of us with RFID chips. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Jim Khoury. Are you concerned about this? Do you think there might occasionally be a wicked person in America who'd like to take away our freedom, who believes in the all-powerful state? Well, Jim, what sort of response did you get to that wonderful article you wrote in newswithviews.com about the danger of RFID chipping? Did you get much of a response to it?
Oh, yeah, I did, especially from healthcare professionals, believe it or not. People, doctors, physicians. One person who was a physician in California wrote a tremendous email to me expressing her concerns about something you brought up. I didn't bring it up, but it's part and parcel of what we're discussing. You know, the mandatory vaccines. California is one of those places where they want to make it mandatory, that parents cannot make the decision themselves. If you look at what they did in Massachusetts, this was recently, and then they pulled back because of the outcry by parents. They were making it a criminal violation if a parent would not allow their child to be vaccinated. Now, supposedly this is for the benefit of the child, but I think that, once again, you have the state trying to take control of how we bring up our children. You know, we should be the ones to make the decision whether our child is vaccinated or not. Not some bureaucrat, not some teacher, not some principal. And so we're seeing this all across the country, and there are many people within the healthcare profession, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, who are against what they're seeing being done in the name of healthcare.
And I think you're absolutely right. Of course, they've always said why vaccines have been proven to be safe and effective. And I would simply point out, if they're really safe, then why have we had an epidemic of juvenile diabetes since we started giving vaccines to our children? Why is one in every six American children have a neurodevelopmental abnormality if vaccines are safe and effective? I mean, why do we have so much autoimmune disease and so much more asthma in the United States?
Yes.
And one in every six children has asthma or some related respiratory disease. You don't see this in other countries. You don't see it in the Amish and Mennonite children that don't take the vaccines. Where is the proof that they are completely safe, that there are no deleterious effects from it?
There is no proof. What they're saying is, trust us.
Right. And
the government is saying, trust us. Now, unfortunately, our government has a history of being deceptive. If you remember during nuclear tests, how they marched soldiers out into the desert in Nevada to set off nuclear devices to see what effects it would have on the soldiers. Now, they wouldn't tell the soldiers that's what they were doing. You know, in other words, they're telling us that we have to trust them. And I have a problem with that. As an American citizen, I have a problem with that.
And I think that this is one of the things that has been forgotten about by so many people. And that is what our founding fathers knew, and that is that men are basically sinful. So why would you want to give sinful men power over the lives of other people? That is why America was formed as it was, unique in the history of all nations, because in America, the power of the central authority was limited by the chains of the Constitution. As Thomas Jefferson said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And that message has been forgotten, and they've taken the chains off the politicians and the bureaucrats, and they're forging them out for the people. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jim was just saying that he is concerned about the fact that we're giving all this power to people in government. And you know, at one time, the American people did not trust the government. Why? Why, very simply, because our founding fathers didn't trust government, and it was their thesis that men were sinful. Why give sinful men power over other people? Do they suddenly become altruistic once they become a bureaucrat or a politician? And of course, there's no reason to believe that they would. But we have forgotten the lessons that have been learned from the past, the lessons that the German people learned to their sadness there. You know, by 1945, they realized that when they gave the power to the Nazis, why, of course, they lost their freedom. And people have forgotten that it was the American CIA that brought the Nazi criminal scientists to America under Operation Paperclip, and the 10,000 Nazis sent them to South America, got them down there. Of course, MI5, MI6, and the CIA, and certainly a group within one of the groups within the Vatican, actually transported the Nazis, 10,000 of the violent war criminals, Martin Bormann, Dr. Mengele, Klaus Barbie, Sidney, Adolf Eichmann. They were all taken to South America. They were aided and set up down there by the American CIA. Well, if our government would do that and help and protect the Nazis, even protect them from the Jewish people who were out trying to search them and track them down, and the CIA knew where the Nazis were, but they wouldn't tell the, you know, the Jewish people at the Wiesenthal Institute where they were. Can we really trust those people with our future today, where they could forcibly vaccinate us and put chips into us and keep dossiers on every American citizen? Well, are people concerned about this idea of tracking American citizens, Jim?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of Americans, as the more they find out, thank God for the Internet. Because there is a lot of information on there that usually American citizens were denied because of the big media being controlled by large corporations. All of a sudden now, reports, and I'm talking about actual government reports, different websites are available for access by American citizens. And the more they read, the more distrustful they're becoming of government. You look at the presidential race that's occurring right now. My take is that we are seeing a lot of cynicism when people hear these politicians making promises, because we've all heard it before. We've all heard it before. And, these people, they, for example, you mentioned God before. You mentioned the religion. These people use that as a prop, and it's a very cynical. We're talking about very cynical people that think that they are able to pull the wool over all Americans' eyes. Now many people are easy to fool, but most Americans now, I believe, are capable of deciphering exactly what these people believe and what they plan for the American people, for this country, and it's a sad commentary right now that so much is occurring so swiftly in this country.
Well, I think that, Chris, you're absolutely right, but we do have the alternative radio, and of course we have people like myself and others. Our good friend Alex Jones, Joyce Friday, Jack Blood. There's so many of the people I can think of. Jeff Rentz are out there bringing information, the real information, to the American people. And then we have the Internet, as you pointed out, and anybody who wants to check out the story of bringing the Nazi scientists, the brutal Nazi criminals to America and giving them soft jobs in our space industry and in research, it's Operation Paperclip. That's Operation Paperclip. Or the Nazis to South America, and that's the RAT line, R-A-T. Go up on Google. Google it in. Could it really be true? Could these things have happened and the average American doesn't know? Well, we do have the Internet. You can look it up there and you can check it out, and not everything on the Internet is accurate. The other side is putting distortions up there. But you're also going to find the truth. And you owe it to yourself, to posterity, to the people who've given their lives in the past to give us this wonderful country, to find out if it's really true. And if it is, then to help us get the information out, just as Jim Curry is doing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you agree, if you disagree. What do you think about mandatory RFID chips for every child in the nursery? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Curry from COPS Magazine. And Jim, we were just talking about RFID chips and how convenient all these arguments are. I mean, after all, would you really want to have a newborn child and get the wrong child in the nursery? Well, the solution, obviously, is to chip every child in the nursery, and that way that you're not going to get the wrong child. They're not going to mix up your child with somebody else. And the same thing would be true with people with Alzheimer's disease. If we could just chip everybody with Alzheimer's disease, and that way when they got lost and they're wandering around on the streets, why, we could scan their chip and would know who they were. We could get them back home. And they're doing this, of course, with animals. And, of course, many of your veterinarians are chipping animals. And they can give you all sorts of wonderful stories how chipping animals will get them back into their back to their owners. In fact, I saw a program recently where somebody who had actually lost a dog in Katrina was recently reunited with that dog because of the chip and how happy the dog was. And he was licking the face on his master, and the master was happy, and the dog was happy, and it was all the chip. And all of this, in my estimation, is propaganda. See, convince the American people that wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all chipped, and that way we'd know who all the dogs were and who all the masters were. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, Jim, how clever the people are who control the media, convince us this is really for good, and yet I believe it's for evil. What are your thoughts?
Oh, sure. Even entertainment shows will put this into their scripts. You know, the shows like Law and Order and the CSIs, one of the CSI series, and you know, you see it, and it is propaganda. It is. There's no other word for it. And the fact that they will try to show the benefits of these chips, but again, and you mentioned it, and most people who are discriminating in as far as policy, they examine something and they look for unintended consequences, and even though the chip may sound beneficial to Americans, there are unintended consequences. And I'll give you a perfect example, which a lot of Americans aren't even aware of. If you go to some of the bridges that we have now with the Easy Pass, for example, the New York metropolitan area, all the bridges have Easy Pass.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Jim Curry. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Jim Curry, and of course he works for COPS Magazine, but he's here as an individual talking about the propaganda that's being used on the American people to get us to go along with the idea that there's nothing wrong with shipping. It's great. It's wonderful. We have all these advantages now that if they just have our electronic number, and he was just talking about the fact that most of the bridges in New York have something called an Easy Pass. Would you like to tell our listeners what the Easy Pass is, Jim?
Okay, well, New York and other localities all across the country have what's known as the Easy Pass. These are machines that are able to read either a card or usually they're like computer cards. What word am I using? Credit cards. They look like, a lot of them look like credit cards. And basically what you do is you drive through, the machine reads the card and allows you through the bridge or tunnel. Supposedly it's faster. And you save time in not having to give money to the toll taker. One of the unintended consequences is there's a record of you going through the bridge at what time. It has all the information about you, personal information about you, on record because you purchased this card. It has your name, address, telephone number, social security number, and other pedigree. So that the government basically, if they want to find out where did you go at a certain time, they're able to check these machines and to tell whether you went from one borough to the next, if you went from Manhattan to Queens or Brooklyn, or if you went from the Bronx into Manhattan. So they're able to do that, and they have used it now in criminal trials. And judges have ruled that it's perfectly okay for them to do that. Now, that's an unintended consequence, the fact that they're able to tell what borough I'm visiting.
But, of course, the thing is, people are going to say, well, what's wrong with that? As long as I'm not a criminal, I have nothing to worry about. But they don't understand that this can be used against enemies of the state, people who disagree with the policies, people who disagree with the war in Iraq, people who believe that there is an elite that runs this government and certainly doesn't allow us freedom and intends to impose a dictatorship on the American people and has a program for mass extermination and population control. It doesn't matter what people say, well, that's all crazy talk, those things couldn't happen, but certainly we've seen in other countries where people have been enemies of the state, and they can be effectively tracked. Why are they putting video cameras on our streets and in our stores and in the hallways at our schools and in our schools? And almost every place in this country, there are video cameras. In Great Britain today, the average individual is videoed 300 times. They have hundreds of thousands of videos in Great Britain, and we're moving rapidly towards this. Always, of course, in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave over in Pakistan, who wants to take away our freedom. But, of course, the difficulty is, now we find out the FBI has $1 billion, and they're putting in this into a recognition database. And so they can recognize your face, even if you're disguised. They can recognize your gait. Now, how would they know what you look like? Well, they went out and they bought up the pictures from all of the departments of motor vehicles all across the country, and they lied to everybody about what they were doing, claiming they were a private corporation, whereas they were really the Secret Service, getting your picture, and they have your picture now. And then, of course, they're going to get information on how you walk, and they can actually determine how you walk and identify you that way. All sorts of characteristics, and they're building up a database on all of our citizens in the name of protecting us from Osama bin Laden. And I'm worried about that. How about you, Jim?
Oh, I'm definitely worried about that. And I work in law enforcement.
Right.
Just because we work in law enforcement doesn't mean we're gonna be exempt from having this technology used on us. There's a potential for abuse against cops by people who want to control the police, who want to make sure that the police will carry out their instructions, even if the police find them to be unlawful. Cops are not supposed to commit crimes, and we're not supposed to be ordered to commit crimes. But using this technology, it's very distressing. Which is why one of the reasons why I've been covering this story. You know, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a healthcare professional. But this particular story really troubles me. It troubles a lot of people that I've spoken to about it. It troubles the people at newswithviews.com. And like I said, I get letter. I'm still getting email from people who have read the article. Especially healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors, physical therapists, people who work at hospitals. And they're concerned about it, too, that the potential for abuse exists, and they understand that potential for abuse.
And, of course, the article that we're talking about is the article that Jim Curry wrote for newswithviews.com. That's www.newswithviews.com. And you can go up there, and certainly you can find his article. And are you listed over there on the left side there?
Yeah, I am. Sure.
All right, fine. So Jim is a regular writer there, and I think you'll be fascinated by what he's written on this subject. And we're talking about the use of RFID technology, supposedly always going to be so good for us, but it's really a matter of tracking packages. It's a matter of tracking merchandise. It's a means of tracking animals. It's a means of tracking individuals. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We have Marcella calling from Salinas. Marcella, do you have a question or comment?
A bit of both. I just wanted to find out your guest's impression of what happened last month in November in St. George County, Maryland, where thousands of kids were forced to get some of them up to 17 vaccines, and there were cops there and police dogs there corralling them into the building. And has anybody in the media written about this?
I'm not even aware of that. I know that
I wrote about it. There's an article in newswithviews.com. I wrote about that, I think, 2 weeks ago.
All right, there you are, Marcella. It's Sydney. You can go to, do you have access to the Internet?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, you go to newswithviews.com, and then, of course, you can scroll down on the left side to Jim Curry, K-O-U-R-I. Jim Curry's name, and then, of course, pull the article down. But I share your concern. I think they're going to see how much the American people will take, and they may not put anything bad in the initial vaccines, but if they have ever put anything intentionally into the vaccines to harm people, then we can never trust them, and we know that they put the contraceptives into the vaccines in both Kenya and in Mexico and in the Philippines, because I've talked to the doctors in those areas. We know that they put a cancer virus into the polio vaccine that's covered in a book called The Virus and the Vaccine. And, of course, we know that the harm from the aluminum and from the mercury in the vaccines. And they keep telling people to take the influenza vaccine, and there's no evidence it helps. And there's all sorts of evidence. It dramatically increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. But then if you believe there are too many people in the world and they might as well die with Alzheimer's disease, why, you wouldn't see anything wrong with that. There really are evil and wicked people. And if anybody wants to check what I'm saying, the relationship of Alzheimer's disease and the influenza vaccine, Dr. Fudenberg's article is excellent. Okay. Did you have anything else, Marcella?
Well, speaking of the influenza flu shot, I just read on the Internet that New Jersey is the first state that are mandating two influenza flu shots.
Oh, boy, I think they ought to get rid of their legislature in New Jersey. I hope they do.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and thank you so much for calling, Marcella. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we're talking really about RFID chips and how, of course, they're being forced onto the farms. Certainly the veterinarians are being encouraged to put them in your pets. But, of course, what the real objective is to eventually sell the American people that how wonderful and convenient it's going to be. They'll know exactly who we are. Once we go into the emergency room and we're unconscious and we can't tell people anything, but all they'll have to do is scan us, and then they can go to the natural database. They'll know everything about us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, certainly what you're saying, Jim, is that what you're finding as a result of your articles is that even many people within the medical profession are concerned about the implications. Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, most of these situations, most of these programs are based on trust us. You know, the government is telling us to trust them. You know, as far as, you know, you gave a perfect scenario. You go into an emergency room. You're unconscious. You have this chip inside of you. And you basically are at the mercy of whomever is taking care of you in that hospital setting, in that emergency room. You're counting on those people being benevolent, you know. And one thing we have to learn is that human beings are not always benevolent. I think that's the difference between a conservative and a liberal. Conservatives understand that man is basically evil. Man, unfortunately, is capable of a lot of evil. Liberals seem to think that because the government is doing it, it must be good. And that's wrong-headed. That is very wrong-headed.
Amen to that. And, of course, we always find out about these nurses who've actually gone around killing people intentionally. Now, most doctors, most nurses are going to do everything they can to be helpful, but you always want to be on the lookout because you never know when there could be somebody who has a different agenda. And, unfortunately, we find that the people who are usually the most malevolent are those who are put in the key positions in government bureaucracies. And we see this with the EPA. We see this with the FDA. We see this with the NIH. We see this with bureaucracy after bureaucracy, where the average person who works there is very concerned about the public health. But the people at the top, well, their services are up for the highest bidder, or they have a different agenda. And that's certainly very, very apparent if anybody doubts the fact that the doctors, the scientists, the bureaucrats, the lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency believe that we are being poisoned by water fluoridation. You can go to their website. They have a website, www.nteu280.org. NTEU280.org. Read what the scientists who work for the EPA say about water fluoridation, and then, of course, write to the EPA and see what the bureaucrats in charge say about it. And it's like two diametrically opposed positions, because there really are people who want to poison the American public with water fluoridation. But anyway, RFID chips, of course, more and more pressure being put on to get us to take RFID chips. Right now, of course, it's voluntary. And do you know whether they've actually been able to get these into any people at all? Have any of the children have it? Have any of the Alzheimer's patients had it yet?
I believe in Florida they started, they had started inserting them in Alzheimer's patients.
All right, fine.
In nursing homes. In other words, if the patient leaves the nursing home. And I remember when I was a cop in New York, we had a lot of calls from nursing homes when a patient was missing, and we'd have to search. You know, usually we found them on the subway or 42nd Street or somewhere, but we usually found them without these chips. And that's probably one of the selling points down in Florida, because they do have a large population of elderly there. And last I heard, they were going to go ahead and do these RFID chips for Alzheimer's patients.
I think people have to understand that the RFID chip cannot be read by a satellite, so you're going to have to get up very close to scan the people. Certainly, they do have certainly ankle bracelets they can put on people, and they can be actually tracked by satellite.
Yeah.
And, of course, down the line, of course, I'm sure that there'll be, you know, more and more technology, that they'll be able to get smaller and smaller things, and perhaps very, very soon that they will be able actually to track, not necessarily RFID, but other types of tracking devices to inject. Do you know anything at all about any of the other tracking devices other than RFID that they can track by satellite?
No, I know that they do have these chips, for example, global positioning systems, that they are capable of inserting a chip that provides that you know, right now they're using that on cell phones and motor vehicles, but it's not unheard of that they could actually insert a chip into a human being in order to use the global positioning system.
And, of course, we've even heard it said that certainly in South America, where people are often kidnapped for profit, you know, very wealthy people, that certainly some of these people have already had the chips put in them, so that if they are kidnapped, that they can be tracked. Whether that's true or not, I certainly don't know. But you can see the rationale for this, but that may not have anything to do with the real reason they want to get chips into everybody, because I believe there really are people who want to track each and every one of us from the cradle to the grave. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, but this is never going to affect me. I'm a law-abiding citizen. What do you say to those people, Jim?
Oh, well, listen, it is something that Americans really have to wake up and take notice of. I think police officers, you know, I'm trying to reach more and more of my colleagues about this. We are faced with a situation where the technology is now available to do stuff that at one time was considered science fiction. And, you know, 1984, I always think of that book, and the motion pictures that came of that book. And we have the technology to put that in place right now. You mentioned before about the closed circuit television. I work in law enforcement. I believe in closed circuit television, but not to the extent that I'm seeing it now, where it doesn't matter where you go. You're on some camera. Whether it's in a building, outside, in the subway, you're being recorded.
And I think people have to understand this can be used for good or for evil. Is man good or evil? If he's evil, do you really want to trust him with that information? Do you want him to be able to track you from the cradle to the grave? We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Jim Corey. We have 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and I really believe this is such an important issue because most Americans find it literally impossible to believe that anyone would want to take away their freedom, and yet, if you study history, this has happened in every civilization. And we enjoyed freedom in this country because of our Constitution. The tragedy is that they are not abiding by our Constitution, and we have people back in Washington, D.C. In fact, the vast majority of our senators and our congressmen have sworn an oath to God to uphold the Constitution, and no sooner do they swear that oath than they've turned right around and they violated that Constitution and voted for all sorts of legislation that is unconstitutional. How are we going to get back to the fundamentals, Jim, and limit the power of government over our lives so we can be free?
Well, I think, first of all, Americans have to have a healthy distrust of power. We have to realize that, and I'm not talking about political party, but we have to realize that there are individuals who care about power first and foremost. And they will do and say anything to get elected, and once they're in their position, it's another story. They will always have a beneficial reason for doing something that may have nothing to do with their hidden agenda. These are people with a hidden agenda. And part of it is being able to track Americans, especially those Americans who are outspoken and independent and do not believe that government has the right to rule us without our permission.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think it's so vitally important that you sound the alarm to the people that you're in touch with, specifically to the police officers, because we need good police officers who will defend our freedom and who believe in our constitutional system, who believe in the Bill of Rights, which says a man has a right, of course, to privacy. And, of course, when you start putting chips into him, he loses his privacy. He also has a right to keep and bear arms. That's the Second Amendment. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of very clever and convincing propaganda out there that is anti-gun and anti-privacy, but of course it will eventually lead to the loss of all freedom. So we need to get back to the Constitution. Jim Corey, thank you so very much for being with us and
for taking
the time to be with us again this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Thank
God
you.
Bless and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Jim Corey. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we think this is a very, very important issue. We carry a book called Spy Chips. It's written by Catherine Albrecht and Liz McIntyre. That's Spy Chips. We recommend it to you. We'll have a 4-tape set on the RFID chipping. It'll be available in a week, and it'll include this interview and other interviews. And what we want you to do, of course, is get this information to other people. Now, to put things into proper perspective, you really need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which goes into the spiritual forces behind this movement to remove our freedom. And there really is a plan to use America's wealth and America's financial power to bring about a world dictatorship, a one world religion, and a new world leader. If you'd like to, of course, document some of the things we were saying about the CIA and helping the Nazis, we have a four-tape set called Operation Paperclip, a couple of interviews there with the author of Secret Agenda, which is the classic story on Operation Paperclip, and we go into the background of the rat line where all these Nazis were helped to escape to South America by the CIA and MI6. How could that be? Well, you can go up on the internet and look it up, and we hope you want to get our four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, because Radio Liberty has information you are just not going to get elsewhere. We have a great four-tape set called Satanic Crimes, and we have a book by the same title. That book is by William H. Kennedy, and we recommend that to you. And then, of course, we have a book entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, and that goes with a four-tape set called The Supernatural, because it involves a woman, her name is Johanna Michelson, one of our favorite guests, who is a medium. And, of course, she had supernatural power. And, of course, she was being trained to become a psychic healer, she would be able to cure people simply by delving into these supernatural powers. And she witnessed over 400 supernatural events where people who'd been given up by conventional doctors were cured by this psychic healer, only to realize eventually this was demonic, and there were demonic forces, and all of the people who were cured now were under demonic control. Amazing material. You're not going to get this elsewhere. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You see, we're really involved in a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And the ultimate goal will be a dictatorship in America, a dictatorship in the world, under the control of organized evil in the form of people. You have to understand that they utilize people. This is what energized the Nazi movement. But most people don't know that the Nazi movement was financed from the United States from its inception. And that's why you need to get the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. That's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And although the man who wrote the book, my friend Professor Anthony Sutton, didn't understand the spiritual implications, you will find out how American corporations were funding Adolf Hitler before and during the war. And then the Second World War, you'll want to get there's another book we don't carry. It's called Trading with the Enemy. But it goes into how American corporations were actually supplying the diesel oil for the submarines, German submarines that were attacking American troop ships and killing Americans during the war. Had we not helped Adolf Hitler, why Adolf Hitler never could have had the military that he did, and certainly the war would have ended in 1943. I personally talked, well, that's another story, but the war could have ended in 43 had not Winston Churchill blocked that. Please understand what's going on. We are really in a battle against organized evil. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.